Please bless the next few moments. I pray your Holy Spirit would come upon us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would come upon me, that you would help me, Father, to say the things that you would have me to say. Father, that you would allow this to be a time of challenge and of growth, Lord, and a time that we would be open to your word. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, we're there in John chapter number 17. And you know, John 17 is an interesting passage, and I'm not preaching about this, but I just like to make a note of it. You know, we on Wednesday nights, we going through the book of Matthew, and we dealt with what's known as the Lord's Prayer, you know, and the Lord's Prayer, which is commonly, you know, repeated by people and all of that, is not really the Lord's Prayer, as much as it is Jesus teaching a pattern of prayer. But in John 17, we actually find the Lord Jesus Christ praying to his Father before he's ready to be crucified. And we actually are able to see the actual, this is Jesus. This is not just Jesus teaching people how to pray. This is Jesus getting alone with God and Jesus praying to his Father. And there's a lot that we could go through in regards to that. But if you look at verse number 15, John chapter number 17 and verse number 15, I want you to notice a very interesting passage. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Now notice verse 16. It says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ here in this prayer kind of mentions and gives us a little insight into the concept of a Christian separation from the world. Now, some of you may be very familiar with that doctrine. Some of you may have no clue what I'm talking about, and that's okay. You know, the truth of the matter is that most churches today completely ignore the teaching of the Bible for biblical separation from this world. Most Christians don't even know what it means to be or live a separated life. They have no idea what that even means, because today, unfortunately, our churches and our pastors in our Christian society, it's a doctrine that's ignored. It's a doctrine that is not talked about. It's a doctrine that's not mentioned. Most people don't even know what it talks about. But this morning, I want to teach you and I want to preach to you about the subject of separation. Separation of the believer. Now, you got to understand, you know, what is the philosophy of separation? What are the thought concepts? What is it that you're talking about when you're talking about separation? Well, you got to understand a few things. The Bible teaches that you and I, as believers, are to be separated from the world.
Amen.
We are to come out of the world. You say, well, why would we do that? Well, you find that concept in John 17. Look what he says. Yeah, look at verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. You see that? So God says, Jesus says, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world. Okay? So we're not Amish. You understand that? We're not, you know, we don't believe that, like, we need to go get some compound and go live by ourselves somewhere and have no interaction with the world. We need to just go live somewhere by ourselves. Look, if we were to just go buy some property and build some, you know, big building, and we all go live somewhere off by ourselves, let me ask you a question. How would we reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ? We wouldn't be able to do it. How would we be able to go out into the highways and hedges and preach the gospel to the unbelievers if we are separated from them? So we're not talking about physically coming out of the world, because he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Verse 16. Now notice what it says. They are not of the world. You got to understand this. You are in the world, but you are not of this world. And Jesus said, even as, or in the same way that I am not of the world. Now keep your finger there in John and go with me to the book of Hebrews, towards the end of the New Testament there. Hebrews chapter number 11. If you keep your finger there in John and go to Hebrews towards the end, if you can find 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 11. And let me show you a verse in Hebrews 11. You got to understand this. You are not of this world. You may be in the world, but when you got saved, you are no longer of this world. You're not from this world. We're living in this world temporarily. Are you there in Hebrews chapter 11? 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 11. Look at verse number 13. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 13. The Bible says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, persuaded of them. And of course, Hebrews 11 is the chapter known as the Hall of Faith. And we have all those great Old Testament examples of people that exercise faith through their lives. And he says they all died in faith, not having seen the promise, but having seen them far off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them. And notice what they did. Look, these people, at some point, I don't have time to do it now, but at some point, you got to just read through Hebrews 11. I mean, the stories there, you know, by faith, these people did great things. And by faith, they accomplished much for God. In Hebrews 11, it says that the people mentioned in Hebrews 11, it says that these people, that the world was not worthy of them.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that a great statement? Wouldn't you love God to say of you, the world was not worthy of you?
Amen.
These people exercised faith. But why? Why were they able to live their lives in a way and accomplish so much? Notice what it says. Hebrews 11, 13. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and, here's the key, confessed that they were strangers, make note of that word, strangers, and pilgrims on the earth.
Amen.
Bible says you are a stranger to this earth. That word stranger means foreigner. The Bible says you are a pilgrim. A pilgrim is someone who's traveling. Someone who's on a journey. You got to understand this. This world is not my home, the song says. I'm just a passing through. We're on a journey through this world, but we're not from here. We're not staying here. I'm not settling here. But you know what? Most Christians live like this is all we have. We are not from this world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. You are a foreigner. You're a traveler. Did you keep your finger in John? Go to Romans. You got John, Acts, Romans. If you have your finger in John, go to Acts, go to Romans chapter number 12. Romans 12. You got to understand this. God has called you and I to be separated from the world.
Thank you, Lord.
Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. If you're in John, you got your finger in John, go to John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter number 12. And make sure you keep your place in Romans. If you got a bookmark or a ribbon or put your bullets in there, we're going to come back to it later in the sermon. But look at Romans chapter number 12, very well-known passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, that's the key word, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, look at verse 2, and be not, notice these words, conformed to this world. You know what the word conform means? It means patterns after. It means to take the form. If I am to conform to something, I'm going to look at their standard or their culture or the way they do it, and I'm going to fit that standard. I'm going to pattern myself. And God says that you and I are to not be conformed to this world.
Amen.
That means whatever the world's doing, that's not my standard. That's not my pattern. Yeah, you know, today most Christians live their lives in a way where it's like, oh, the world's doing this, so we should do it. Oh, the world's into this music, so we should be into it. Oh, the world's watching this movie, so we should go watch that movie. Oh, the world's living this way. Look, God says that you are to not be conformed to this world. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, we're not to be conformed to this world. Keep your finger there in Romans or your bulletin, whatever. Go to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. If you start at the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, you got Revelation, you got Jude, then you got 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So get to the end, Revelation, Jude, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Go to John, 1 John chapter number 2. Again, I'm not showing you any verses that we haven't already talked about in the past, but I want you to see them again. Not only are we not to be conformed to this world, the Bible says that we are not to even love this world.
Amen.
1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world. And he says, I don't only want you to not love the world. He said, neither the things that are in the world. You say, well, why can't I love the world? Because if any man love the world, look what it says, don't miss this, the love of the Father is not in him. There's only one way to love the Father, and if you're loving the world, you can't love the Father. You understand that?
Amen.
Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians, if you were just in Romans, right after Romans you got 1st and 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, look at verse number 14. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6:14, Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We are not to be yoking up with unbelievers. And that applies to, look, your friends should not be unsaved friends.
That's right.
I can't believe you're saying that. You're telling me that my friends should only be Christians? That's exactly what I'm telling you. That's exactly what Paul is telling you. That's exactly what God is telling you. Be ye not unequally yoked together with a believer. You know, some of you would solve, you could have solved a whole lot of marriage problems if you would have just married somebody who was saved. The Bible says you shouldn't even marry an unbeliever. You're not supposed to go into business with an unbeliever. I didn't say be mean to unbelievers. I didn't say be unfriendly. But I'm telling you this. We are not to yoke ourselves with unbelievers. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? Because look, we're not headed in the same direction. We don't have the same philosophies. We don't serve the same master. We're not going the same place. And when you yoke yourself with an unbeliever, you're unequal. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Can righteousness and unrighteousness fellowship together? Can doing good and doing wrong coexist together? Can you be doing good and doing wrong at the same time? Can you be stealing from someone and returning to them their lost possession at the same time? That doesn't make any sense. What righteousness... You know, for what fellowship? Now, I know that was the alibi for some of you. You know, you got caught stealing. I was just returning it. Yeah, right. What righteousness, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Look at this. What communion hath light with darkness? How successful could we unite light and darkness? But yet God says this is like you trying to unite a believer with an unbeliever. This is like you trying to yoke the world with God. He said, what communion hath light with darkness? Look at verse 15. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Belial is a reference to Satan. He says, look, can you unite Satan and Jesus Christ? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Here's what I'm trying to explain to you. God makes a distinction between the world and Him. God makes a distinction between righteousness and I know most Christians today don't do it. I know most churches today don't preach it. I know most churches, this is not the favorite sermon of people at church today. But God says, look, you cannot fellowship with righteousness and unrighteousness. You cannot commune light with darkness. You cannot unite Christ with Belial. He said, you cannot join these things. He said, you know, what part has the believer with an infidel? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? So, Pastor Manus, why are you teaching this? Here's why I'm teaching this. God says, I don't want my things united with this world. God says, I want my stuff separated from this world. So, well, what does that have to do with me? If you're saved, here's what it has to do with you. Look at verse 16. For ye are the temple of the living God. Amen. See, you got to understand this. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. You know, I get tired of people saying, well, it's my body. I can do whatever I want with it. No, actually, it's God's body. Well, I don't like, you know, the Bible teaches these stretch standards, and the Bible teaches this, and the Bible teaches that, and you're trying to tell us how we... Look, I'm not trying to tell you how to do anything, but I'm telling you this. That body doesn't belong to you. What you put in it, what you put on it, what you do with it, it's not your body, it's God's body. And He says, look, ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Verse 17, wherefore? The word wherefore, He said, for this reason. For what reason? For the reason that you cannot unite light and darkness. You cannot unite Christ with Satan. You cannot unite a believer with an infidel. And the fact that you belong to God, He says, wherefore? Don't miss this, verse 17. Come out from among them. Amen. And be ye separate, saith the Lord. That's biblical separation. That's coming out of this world. That's being separated from this world. That's not being united in this world. That means we don't go with the fads of the world. That means we don't go with the dress standards of the world. That means we don't go with the philosophies of this world. It doesn't matter what this world's doing. That's why Paul said to Timothy, he said, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. He said, whether it's fashionable or not, I don't care. Timothy, you don't belong to this world. You belong to God. We are to be separated from the world. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Now don't, you got to understand this, okay? Go to 1 Peter. If you're just in 1 John, you kept your finger there, I think. Right after 1 John, you got 1 and 2 Peter. Go to 1 Peter.
A lot of times you preach sermons like this and people think, oh, that, you go to one of those hellfire brimstone churches. I want to go to the weak little church where all they talk about is how good I am. Now, you got to understand, the doctrine of separation is not just to come out from the world. That's the negative part. We are to be different. Look, listen to me. You are to look different. You are to act different. You are to think different. You are to be different than this world. Do you understand that?
Here's the question I have for you. What's so different about your life and your neighbor's? And the truth of the matter is, you look like them, you act like them, you cuss like them, you drink like them, you live like them. Other than you come to church on Sunday morning and check that off some mental checklist, there's not really a lot of difference between most Christians and the world. They can't raise their kids like the world can't raise their kids. They can't stay married like the world can't stay married. They can't get off drugs like the world can't get off drugs. There's really not a lot of difference between the world.
Right.
Are you there in 1 Peter chapter 1? Oh, I know most churches don't talk about this. Most churches just talk about, you know, tell me just a story. Pastor, all I want is a story, an illustration, and then, you know, give me the finger food and we'll be good. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look what it says. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 16. 1 Peter 1:16. Because it is written. This is what God said. He said, be ye. Does it sound like he's asking? He is telling you. He is commanding you. He is saying, be ye holy. Why? For I am holy. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. So you got to understand this. It's not enough to be separated from the world. If you only understand that separation is from the world, you're only halfway there. It's separation from the world, but it is separation unto God. Are you there in 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 9. The Bible says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now sometimes people come to this church and they'll say things like this to me. You guys are different. I mean, this is not normal. You're singing those old hymns. That's not very usual. I mean, I thought we were going to come in here. I thought, you know, you're going to have like the drum set up. There's going to be an electric guitar. I thought those lights were going to go dim. We're going to get up and worship Jesus. Let me tell you something. What's so different about that and the average conference that goes on in the world today? See, you know what I like about our church? When you walk in, you feel like your church. You don't walk in and you feel like you walk. Did I just walk into the nightclub? Or no, this is church. No, that was that last night, Saturday night. No, this is Sunday morning. It's church. And what's the world's concept? What do the churches say today? Well, to reach them, we got to be like them. No, the Bible says you come out from among them and you be separate.
Amen.
See, what you win them with is what you'll win them to. If you win them with weak, shallow preaching, if you win them with worldly music, and look, let me tell you something. The world's music, if you were honest, if you were true, if you just grab the average Christian music of today and remove the name of Jesus, you could play it on any radio station and it would fit fine. And the average Christian song, contemporary song about Jesus today, if you just remove the name of Jesus and you put it on the radio, most people would think it's just a love song about something. There's no doctrine. There's no Bible. There's no, it's just shallow, I love Jesus. You know, God is so awesome. Okay, yeah, praise the Lord for that. You know, I don't have to sing that 57 times to figure it out. God's awesome, let's move on. See, I'm trying to explain to you, God has called you to be separate. Now see, people say, oh yeah, God's called us to be separate. But here's the question, where are you separate? Where are you different? All the Christians say, oh yeah, we're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to be separate. But where are you separate? How are you different? Because you are called to be holy people. You are called to be, I like this word. Look at 1 Peter 2:9 again. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Notice this word. A peculiar people. You know what the word peculiar means? Not usual, not normal. When people come to church, sometimes people come to church, I ask them, what do you think? Well, it was different. Praise the Lord for that. It wasn't what I was expecting. Yeah, you're probably expecting the world is what you're expecting. Well, it's not usual. It was peculiar. Good. Then we hit our mark. Because God has called us to be a peculiar people. Go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. You find all those T-books, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus. Titus chapter 2, look at verse 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. You say, why has God called us to be separate? Why has God called us to be different? He didn't just call us out of the world, but He called us unto Himself. So you've got to understand this. God wants a people that are different. God does not want a people that are the same as the world. You understand that? You understand that God already had a world full of worldly people before He died? Before He sent His Son? If He just wanted a bunch of worldly people, He didn't need to send His Son for that. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to save you so He could call unto Himself a peculiar people. Are you there in Titus chapter 2, verse 14? Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and, notice what He says, purify. The word purify means to cleanse. Comes from the same word as pure, comes from the same word as holy, comes from the same word as consecrate. He says, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. My question is this: what's so peculiar about you? What's so different about you? What's so separate about you? See, there is a philosophy of separation. The philosophy of separation is this. God has called you out of the world, but it's not enough to be out of the world. God has called you unto Himself. But you know what? Let's get a little practical. We talked about the philosophy of separation. Let's talk about the practice of separation. Go back to 1 John chapter 2. I think I asked you to keep your bulletin there or something there. 1 John chapter 2. Because you can say, be separate, be separate, be separate. And everybody's like, yeah, we're separate, yeah, we're separate, yeah, we're separate. But how does that look practically? Are you there in 1 John chapter 2? Look at verse 15 again. We read the verse, let's look at it again. 1 John chapter 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now look at verse 16. For all. Do you see that word all? You know what the word all means? It means everything. No exception. Not some, not most. For all that is in the world. See, here's the problem. You say, well, why do we have to come out from the world? Why can't we just be like the world? Why can't we be conformed to this world? Why can't I pattern my life to the philosophies of this world? And why can't I just be just like them? Here's the problem. For all that is in the world, here's the problem. Look what it says. Here's all the world has to offer. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's all the world has to offer. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. See, you say, well, what's the problem with the world? The problem with the world is this. When you pattern yourself by the world, you're going to live in sin. You're going to live in lust of the flesh, you're going to live in lust of the eyes, you're going to live in pride of life. And God wants you to get the sin out of your life. See, I'm trying to explain to you. If we are to be a holy people, we need to not only say, I'm a Christian, but we need to come out of the world and get the sin out of our lives and actually practice holiness. Say, Pastor, do you guys believe in sinless perfection? I believe one day you'll be raptured and you'll get a new body and you will no longer sin. While we're on this earth, we understand. While you're on this earth, you will never be sinless. But you know what? Every day you ought to be sinning less. Every day you ought to get more sin out of your life. And more sin out of your life. And more sin out of your life. Every day we ought to be trying to... Go back to 2 Corinthians. Look at chapter 7, 2 Corinthians. You got to understand this. You got to understand this. It's not only when you get, it is only when you get the world out of your life, the sin out of your life, that you can truly begin to develop a deep relationship with God. You know, the sad thing about preaching a sermon like this is that most people don't even understand what it really means to walk with God. They think coming to church and hearing a preacher preach, I have a relationship with God. No, you don't. The Bible says, he said that, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body, that your living sacrifice is not your body. That you present your body, that living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's only acceptable when it's holy. And how do you become holy? Be not conformed to this world. But here's the thing. He says, be ye transformed. See, God wants to transform you. You gotta understand this. You gotta understand this. You say, well, I went to this church, and they said, you know, I can come as I am. Look, you can come as you are, but God doesn't want you to stay like that. I say this often, and I say it often because we need to hear it often. God loves you, but He does not like you. He has called you to be conformed to the image of His Son. He saved you not to stay like you. You are the problem. Called you to be like Him.
His Son, Jesus Christ. He called you to be conformed to the image of His Son, not conformed to the image of the world.
Are you there in 2 Corinthians chapter 7? Look at verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. What promises? Are you saved? Do you have the promise of salvation? Do you have the promise of a home in heaven?
Amen.
Do you have the promise of eternal life? He said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. God has called you. Look, I could sit here and name all the sins, and maybe I will. But you know what God's dealing with. Week after week after week, God is dealing with sin in your life. Every time you open the Bible, every time you hear Bible preaching, the Holy Spirit should be poking and prodding at sin in your life and bring it to your attention, saying, you know you've got this problem. You know you've got this sin. You've got to deal with it. And if you come to church week after week and you say, the Holy Spirit never shows me anything, you got a problem, buddy. You may want to just get saved. Because if the Holy Spirit indwells you, let me tell you something, He will be dealing with the sin in your life. And by the way, that's why most people don't want to come to church. Because they're not really interested in changing. They want to stay the way they are. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. We saw it, but let's look at it again. What agreement hath God with hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. See, you got to understand this. Look at verse 16 again. Say, why preach separation, Pastor? Why would you deal with that? Look what it says. For ye are the temple of the living God. Verse 16. As God hath said, here's the goal. This is what God wants. I will dwell in them. Do you know that if you're saved, God dwells inside of you?
Amen.
Do you know that if you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of you? The moment you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit? That's what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
I don't have time to go into that. But you are sealed with the Spirit of promise. God is living inside of you. He says, by the way, that's why your body is a temple of God. Because He's still living inside of you. I will dwell with them. But He doesn't want to just dwell with you. Look what He says. And walk in them. You're a pilgrim, right? You're on a journey, right? You're traveling through this world, right? God doesn't want you to go through it alone. He wants to walk with you. He wants to journey with you. I will be their God. They shall be my people. He says, I want to develop a relationship with you. He says, I want you to know me and I want to know you. I want you to walk with me. Be honest with yourself. Do you honestly have a relationship with Jesus Christ? I didn't say you come to church. I didn't say you act religious. I didn't say you call yourself a Christian. Do you spend time with God? Do you know God?
Amen.
Are you developing a walk with Him, a daily time where you're walking with Him? When you do, you got to understand this, when you do, sin will affect that relationship. He says, I'm dwelling inside of you. Go to Ephesians. You're there in 2 Corinthians? Galatians, Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. He has sealed you. He is in you. God, you know, the Bible says that Christ is in you. God is in you. Ephesians 4:30 says this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. See, God, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. But you know that you can grieve the Holy Spirit? It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Look, I wish I had the eloquence to explain this. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. You know what's interesting about the Holy Spirit? You know the characteristic about the Holy Spirit? It takes a lot of years of Bible college for you to figure this out. The Holy Spirit is holy, hence the name. You know what it means to be holy? It means without sin. You got to understand, you got to get this concept in your head. When you sit down and you turn on that stupid television and you begin to watch filth and you begin to, you know, gentlemen, you begin to watch women dressed immodestly. You begin to watch people, just drinking alcohol, belittling drunkenness, fornicating. You think God wants to, the Holy Spirit inside of you wants to watch that junk? You think God wants to, you know, the Holy Spirit wants to watch all these, you know, curse words and all these people taking His name in vain and all these people belittling God and belittling Christianity. You know, every time you do sin, you got to understand that you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And when you grieve the Spirit,
He ought to touch you. He ought to poke you. He ought to prod you. He ought to...
And look, if you say, well, I don't feel that, then you got more problems than you think.
I don't feel the Holy Spirit ever touching me.
Well, then we need to deal with you even more.
He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, right before the book of Hebrews. James chapter 4, right before the book of Hebrews. James chapter 4, right before the book of Hebrews. James chapter 4, look at verse 4. James chapter 4, verse number 4. Bible says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God. You know what the word enmity means? It means you are at odds. Whosoever therefore will be friend of the world is the enemy of God. When you position yourself as a friend of the world, at the same moment you position yourself as an enemy of God. You understand that? So, well, I want to love the world and love God. You can't do it. I want to be part of this world and be conformed to this world and do what this world does and be just like them and also love God. You can't do it. Because to be the friendship of the world is enmity with God. To be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. I'm trying to get one point across to you, and it's this. God has called you to be separate. Here's a question. How are you separate? What is different about you? What has changed in your life? Look, I don't believe that you got to change to be saved. Salvation is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Some people say, well, if you get saved and nothing changes in your life, then you didn't get saved. Well, that's a lie. We understand that you can have the Holy Spirit living inside of you and be grieving Him. We understand that. But here's the question. Assuming that you care. Assuming that you care what God says and what God thinks. What is different about your life? What is different? What has changed? What would the world... Look, if you were put on trial, and they were saying, we want to put this individual on trial... And we want to convict them of being a Christian. Would there be enough evidence to convict you?
Amen.
Is there enough evidence in your life to say, yeah, he's a follower of Jesus Christ?
Are you just showing up to church every week after week?
You know, the sad thing is people come to church week after week after week after week, bro. There's no appetite for the things of God. There's no desire. Goes in one ear, out the other, one ear, out the other, one ear, out the other, week after week. And those are the people who have the question, are you even saved? I'm not saying you have to be saved to be changed, but the fact that you just don't care what God says.
I live like the world, I drink like the world, I cuss like the world, I smoke like the world, I look at pornography like the world looks at, I inject drugs in my body like the world does, I do everything the world does, but I'm a Christian.
I'm with you. Let me give you a couple things on separation.
There is personal separation. There is ecclesiastical separation. That's a fancy word for church.
Our church is to be separate from this world. And our church is to take a stand on separation for this world. I'm telling you, you walked in or whatever. You landed in a Bible-believing Baptist church.
Amen.
And you may be thinking, this is crazy. I never heard anything like this. I can't believe people are saying this. Well, yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. Separation. And our separation comes in a stand.
See, people get this idea. They think separation is a distance. As long as I stay away from the world and I'm accepting God. Here's the problem with that. I asked Brother Al and Brother Dan to help me this morning. Come up, guys. Where's Brother Dan? Come on up. I'm going to have Brother Dan come up here real quick. Brother Al, stand right here. I want to give you an illustration. Brother Dan here is going to represent the world. Okay? I mean, just look at him. I mean, he represents everything that is ungodly. Everything that is wicked. Everything that is... Actually, Brother Vincent, why don't you come up here? No, I'm kidding. Brother Dan represents the world, okay? And then we got Brother Al here who represents Christianity. I mean, Brother Al represents everything that is godly, everything that is right, everything that is pure, everything that is righteous, So we got the world here, right? And we got Christianity. Now, here's how most Christianity looks at the world. They think, as long as I keep my distance from the world, back up a little bit. He said, why did I keep my distance from the world then? If I keep my distance from the world, then God is happy. Okay, here's the problem. Go to 2 Timothy. Are you there? You're close to Titus or something? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3.
Most Christians think, well, as long as I keep my distance from the world, I have no problems. As long as I keep my distance from the world, then I'm okay. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 13. 2 Timothy 3:13 says this, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know what the Bible teaches, that the world's getting worse and worse? You know what the Bible teaches, that the world is not getting better, it's getting worse, and leading up to the tribulation and leading up to the rapture, the world is going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. Evil men and seducers wax worse and worse. Now, most Christians think, as long as I keep my distance from the world, I'm safe. Here's the problem. The world is getting worse. You understand that? The world is getting worse. And see, the problem, here's the problem we have with most of the churches. Is they think, I'm distant from the world. Look, did he keep the same distance from the world? Here's the problem. He's now standing where the world used to stand. Do you understand that? Let me just break it down for you. The contemporary Christian music of today is just the rock music of yesterday. Do you understand that? The worldly philosophy that is being taught in churches today is just the philosophy of the 60s. It's just the philosophy of the 50s. Somebody said to me, they asked me a question about some movie. And I said, well, here's the problem with all this movie. They said, well, it's better than the other movies that are... I mean, look, if your standard is an R-rated movie, then yeah, okay, you met your standard. I'll say something about, you know... These people that play sports, these professional baseball players and football players, they say, what do you have wrong with them? Here's the problem I have with them. They work while they should be on church. They play games on Sunday for filthy lucre's sake when they should be serving God. Amen. Amen. And they say, well, at least they're not on drugs. Well, if not being on drugs is your standard of godliness, then yeah, I guess you met it. But see, the world is not the standard. You know why? Because the world gets worse and worse and worse. And it's going to get 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 worse. And eventually, Christianity is worse than the world used to be. Thanks, guys. You can have a seat. You know, there was a day when... Do you understand that there was a day when the world said, like, Elvis Presley, he is wicked. I mean, he shakes his pelvis. You know what I mean? I mean, he is a bad guy. The world thought that. Today... Everybody would be like, oh, that's just the good old days. The world's getting worse and worse and worse. See, you say, well, what do we do? We don't base our separation on the distance of the world. You base your separation on the Word of God. And when you take a stand, and when you decide, here's what the Bible teaches, here's what the Word of God teaches, here's what God tells me to do, look, the world can go as far as they want. It doesn't matter. I'm staying right here. This is the stand. This is the standard. This is the Bible. This is the music. This is the way we dress. This is the way we do it. Why? Because God said it. Not because I'm away from the world.
Amen.
I'm going to go watch this movie. Well, there's worse movies. Well, if the world's your standard, you're constantly just going to be getting worse and worse. If you think Verity Baptist Church is weird now, come back 40 years from now. It's going to be even weirder. Because we're not changing. We're not moving.
Amen.
We're not getting closer.
That's right.
It is God's Word that should be our standard.
Amen.
It is God's Word that should be our standard. Amen. Not the fashions of this world. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Here's the question for you. Here's the question for you.
If you, what in your life is different? I mean, what is it?
Say, Pastor, I'm separated from the world. And what area? Pastor, I don't live like the world. Where? You see, the Bible says that we have been called out unto God. But most Christians think, I'm a Christian. Saying those words makes me different. Saying those words does not make you different. How you live your life makes you different. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Father, I pray that this morning someone might have got the concept. I know most people. I know, Father, I know there are people here that are going to live here this morning and they're going to think, that was nice. Oh, there he goes again, rambling about weird things. That's okay. I'm not worried about those people. They're welcome to come. They're not going to change. That's fine. But Father, I pray that there'd be one person here today that would catch the vision, that would say, I want to be different. I don't want to be like the world. I want to be separated from the world, not just so that I can be separated from the world, but so that I can be separated unto God. Father, I pray you'd bless our church. Lord, I pray you'd help us to inventory our lives. Father, that we would seek to find the sin in our lives, Lord, that we keep ignoring, the sin that we keep just trying to wave off, the sins that you've been dealing in our lives, Lord, that we would change, that we would do something, that we would come out and be separated, be a holy people, peculiar people. Father, we love you. In your precious name I pray.